So tonight, what I want to talk to you about is the words that we speak, how powerful they can be, in a positive and negative way, how powerful they can be in our lives. Psalms 140, verse 3 says, "They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent. The poison of vipers is on their lips." You guys probably all remember the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But the reality is, words can hurt, and it does hurt sometimes. The words that we speak to each other, the words that we say. And sometimes the people that we love the most are the people that we can hurt the most with the words that we use. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this last name right, but Louis Yablowski, author of Fathers and Sons, says he observed the effects such negative comments had on his own father. His mother would say, "Look at your father. His shoulders are bent down. He's a failure. He doesn't have the courage to get a better job or make more money. He is a beaten man." I don't know how many of you in your homes have heard words like that, maybe directed at you, maybe directed at your spouse. Maybe when you were a child growing up, you could hear your parents fighting with words such as that. But how that can sink in and penetrate and hurt. They say that it takes 9 affirming comments to make up for each critical. So it takes 9 affirmations to make up for 1 negative. So I want you to think about that and think about the words that you say, how you say, how you're using them. We're going to go to Matthew 16. Jesus affirmed people. The Word should bring affirmation to our lives. There's so much in the Scripture where the Bible will affirm us as being God's children, as having confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we're using these words on each other's in homes with our children, with our wives, with our husbands, are we good at affirming each other? Are we good at building each other up, or are we always tearing each other down? Matthew 16, verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. But how did that start out? "Blessed are you." Do you guys ever get a pat on the back like, "Great job," or "You did wonderful," or "You did great," and "You're blessed," and doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it bring encouragement to your soul when someone just lets you know, "Wow, you're doing fantastic. You're doing great." But how often do we affirm those around us? How often do we say to those around us how much they mean to us, how proud we are of them and what they've done? I think sometimes it's easier to lose sight with the people you're closest to, because you're there every day. Well, they should know how you feel. I hadn't left yet. I'm still here, ain't I? You know, and sometimes we forget to tell people how much we appreciate what they're doing or what they've done, to say thank you, to tell them how much we appreciate, maybe a husband that works hard or maybe a wife that is makes sure and has dinner ready, or you know, how wonderful of a mom they are, or how great of a dad they are, or just you know, how much you appreciate, you know, them doing the dishes, or that you got clean clothes to wear. Or, I mean, just there's such a wide array of things that we could say how much we appreciate each other. But over time, you begin to take things for granted. And sometimes we forget to give that affirmation of love, that affirmation of how much someone means to us. You know, I've heard it said, and I don't know if it's a joke or true, but the wife was having problems with her husband, and they'd been married for 40 something years, and she got him to go to the pastor for counseling, and she said he never says I love you, and he said, well, I said I love you on our wedding day, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. And so 40 something years, he'd never told her he loved her. And you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how some people are. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. But until then, I'm still here, ain't I? I hadn't left, you know. But y'all, our words, or even our lack of words, can cause so much hurt, can cause so much pain. This man that said his father was a beaten man by the mother's words. You know, he's a failure. He doesn't have the courage to get a better job. He's a nobody. You know, and that's what I think. The Bible says there's a power of life and death in our tongue and in our words. And I think sometimes people become what is spoke over them all the time. If people are always telling you're a failure, you can't do nothing right, a lot of times that's what people end up becoming. But where there's encouragement, where there's love, and where there's maybe even an ambition spoken over someone, that we'll try to live up to that more. Matthew 26:6. You make sure that, yeah. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she had poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached, throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." You know, sometimes it's easy to pile on with the crowd. What is this woman doing? She's wasting this money. She's wasting this. And sometimes in a crowd, it's easy to pile on and make fun and tell people how stupid they are and ignorant. And why are you doing this? But what did Jesus do? He said, "What she has done is a beautiful thing." He didn't go with the crowd, and he recognized what she was doing. And y'all, in our lives, sometimes we need to stop and we need to recognize the beauty in each other and in each other's actions and in our spouse and in their actions. And even if it doesn't seem to make sense, to know where their heart's coming from. This woman was coming from a heart with love and compassion towards Jesus, and to stop and just say, you know, where is this coming from? Is it from a place of love? Is it from a place of compassion? I'd heard a story, and it's been years since I read it, but I'm probably not going to get the details exactly right, but this man had decided to buy this gas station, and he sold everything they had to buy this gas station to earn a living for their family. And the gas station failed, and they lost everything. And his wife come alongside him and said, "Well, let's just go on. Let's just do something else." And he was, "You're not gonna, You're not going to tell me how dumb I was, that I wasted all our money, that I couldn't run this business properly, and I've lost everything that we got? And she didn't, and she encouraged him. And the man went on to become very successful. Y'all, how easy would it have been for her to say, "You idiot, why'd you invest everything in that? I told you we shouldn't have invested in that." How easy it is to kick someone when they're down, but how divine is it when someone's down to try and build them up? To try and tell them it's okay. That you're not going to leave. That you're going to be there right beside them. I'm going to tell you, when I've messed up, I don't need anybody to tell me. I don't need Crystal to tell me that I've messed up. I know it. And when if someone else is just piling on, it's just more weight and more weight on my shoulders. I don't need anybody to tell me when I've blown it, when I've made a mistake. I can beat myself up bad enough. And you guys are probably the same way. You don't need anybody to pile on when you've made a mistake, when you've done something wrong. But to be there and to love someone and come alongside of someone and encourage them. John 1:47 says, "When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false.'" More of Jesus' affirmation of just affirming someone. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." You hear that? A kind word can do so much, just like a harsh word can do so much. When was the last time you said something kind to your spouse? When was the last time you said something kind to someone that you love? That you truly told them how grateful you were for them or thankful for them? It's funny because Monday, Mitzi had told everybody that let's say something that we're thankful for. And it was funny because after we got started and people really, really started sharing, and it was good. You know, Thanksgiving, we all think, oh, let's say something we're thankful for, you know, then. But then the rest of the year, oh, let's just live life. But to say those affirming words, a kind word cheers him up. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." See, that's why we need to be here, to be encouraging one another. But when we come in and we put on our churchy faces and our churchy outfits and everything's fine, how can we get any encouragement? Because everything's great in my life and I don't need any encouragement. But maybe if we just come in here and just get real once in a while, and let us know what each other's struggles are, that we can put our arms around each other and love one another and encourage one another and get real with, you can overcome, you can get victory, that God's there, that we're there, and really truly be there for one another and not just speak it in words and then go home and say a prayer and be done with it, but call and check and go and help and do and serve. And it's the same thing in our homes, that if you see your wife struggling, if you see your husband struggling, just don't take them for granted that they're always going to be there, that everything's going to be okay. Those are the moments that we need to stop and we need to encourage one another that you can do it, you can make it. I've told this story before and hopefully you guys will remember it, but there was an oil executive that made a costly mistake of $2 million. He lost the company $2 million, and this was, I think, in the 40s or 50s. So that was a whole lot of money back then. It's still a lot of money, but it was a whole lot of money back then. And John Rockefeller was the head of that company, and people were avoiding him all morning because they knew how angry he would be over losing the $2 million. And one of his partners walked into a meeting and found Rockefeller sitting at his desk writing on a sheet of paper. And on the left side it said points in favor. And he had this long list of everything that that executive had done for their company good. And Rockefeller had decided to encourage the executive instead of firing him, because all the good that he had done far outweighed the mistake of losing the $2 million. Y'all, sometimes in our lives, when we blow it, when we make the mistake, we need the encouragement and we need to remember how valuable our spouses are, how valuable the people that we love in our life are to us. Not beat them up with the words. When your spouse messes up, do you ever stop and think this could be a moment to really encourage them and not tear them down, not beat them up anymore, to really stop and come alongside and let them know that you're there to help them through whatever it is? I don't know everything you guys face in your homes. And in my marriage, I've messed up, I think, a whole lot more than Crystal has. So I've been on the receiving end of grace a whole lot more than she has. But y'all, I think we need to be careful the words that we're speaking and how we're speaking, and begin to speak life. Begin to think of how we can encourage one another. I want you guys to think about a building. And how long does it take to build a building? It takes a while, right? You got to dig out. You got to pour a foundation. You got to start and you got to build. And if it's a several story building or a skyscraper, it's months, maybe even years of building and building and building. And it can take a long time to build that building. But how quickly can a building be taken down? With the right explosives in the right spots, a matter of seconds, and it can come crashing down, right? I want you to think about that in your marriages. How long you've been married and you've been building and building and building and building that life together. But with the words that we speak, how quickly can we cause it all to go come tumbling down? With our moments of anger, our outburst, our acting like a toddler having a temper tantrum. I've been there. I've done it. I've broke garden hose over trees out in the yard. I've slammed doors. I've done all kinds of stupid stuff, and in moments of anger and just, leaving and getting mad and slamming doors and everything else. And how dumb. At the time, they didn't seem dumb, but I remember, this has probably been 5 years ago, and I got mad about something, and I was outside, and there was an old garden hoe, and I took it and I broke it over a tree, and that wasn't good enough, so I broke it again, and then the joke was on me because that stupid thing splintered all in my hand. I had splinters and cuts all in my hands. And then it hurt. And then all at once that anger was gone and ow! And I just think the Lord was probably saying, yeah, there you go. You deserve it. Acting like a little baby out there having your little temper tantrum. But how many of us, instead of aiming at that tree, let our words gush out? At our wives, at our husband. Letting them have it. Y'all, we need to be encouragers. Kyle's Sunday school this morning, we was in James chapter 1, and it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That fits for tonight, too. That we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because oftentimes the first thing, if I'm mad or upset, that's about to roll off my tongue is not what needs to be said. It needs to be held inside. It needs to be meditated on, and then it needs to be maybe worded differently, if even said at all. How quickly we can tear down our homes, tear down our spouses, tear down our families. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So can I ask you, are you speaking life? I mean, really, do you speak life in your everyday? To the ones that you love, to your family, to your children? Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. How many of us do the words that we speak really benefit those that listen? Are we helpful? Are we building each other up? Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We should be quick to forgive. We should be slow to speak. And we need to guard these lips of ours. Are you saying words of encouragement? Are you saying words that benefit those who hear? And I'm not just talking about in a marriage. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about at Walmart. I'm talking about with your friends. I'm talking about here at church. Are we gossips? Are we slanderers? Are we encouragers? Are we building each other up? You know, there's certain people in my life, and when I get around them, they just make me feel better. I just enjoy being around them. They build me up. Because they're speaking God's Word and they're speaking encouragement. And then there's other people I'm around and all they ever do is gripe and all they ever do is complain and they're tearing down. And those people bring me down with them. And then I sit and I ask myself, which one am I? What category would I fall in? Would I be someone that's building people up or would I be someone tearing people down? Would I be an encourager or would I be a slanderer and a gossip? What are the words that you're speaking? Is unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth? We need to guard these lips of ours. James 3:9-12 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursings. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brother, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. What's the Bible say? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's been coming out? It's funny. Do you ever stop and just listen to people? I don't know why, but the last 3 or 4 weeks I've been listening to people a lot. And you can tell what's in their heart real quick. And you know what? I listen to myself sometimes and I can tell what's in my heart. And sometimes I'm not pleased with it. Sometimes I'm not happy with what's coming out. What's the overflow of your heart? Is it salt water? Or is it fresh water? What's being produced? Y'all, we put on a good act here at church. I mean, more than likely, Colton's not going to come up and give me a good tongue lashing here. Right? He's not going to do it, but I'm just picking on Colton for a minute. But you know what? When he gets home, Casey sees the real Colton. I mean, I've known Colton for more than 10 years now, and I think I know Colton pretty well. But Casey sees the real Colton. I can get up here and preach and hopefully it's real. But when I get home, Crystal sees. She hears what's coming out of my mouth. She knows. God, what's really coming out of us? Is it good? Is it pleasing? Is it building up? Are we tearing down? Is it slander? Is it vicious? Or is it good fruit being bore? Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. How many of us are speaking those words to our family, to our friends, to our husbands, to our wives, to the people that we love? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Are we encouraging one another? Are we building each other up? Or are we coming alongside one another? Because Keaton's played before me, Madeline's played before me. Hey, these little kids, when I coached them in Little League and sports and basketball and baseball and all that, what was the one thing that I said, Keaton, that I hated to hear come out of your mouth? I can't. If a kid said I can't, it drove me crazy. You say you can't, you won't. And any time a kid would say, I just can't. Ugh. Go hit the fence. Run a lap. If you say I can't, there's going to be punishment. I don't want to hear I can't. I want to speak life. I want to speak encouragement that you can. And y'all, in our marriages sometimes, it's the words that we don't say can hurt just as much as the words that we do say. And we get lazy. And we get used to each other. And we quit trying. When me and Crystal were dating and you'd be like talking on the phone. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. I love you. I love you more. I love you more. I love you more, you know, and all that silliness, you know. And then now it's like a day might even go by that we don't say I love you. We don't give each other a kiss, or we don't, you know. You just, if you're not careful, you can begin to take each other for granted, and you can quit valuing how important the people that should mean the most to you are. And then with our words, and when we tear each other down, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. You didn't stop and get the milk. I told you to stop and get the milk. You didn't, you know. Did I already tell y'all that about the, I remember telling Crystal, I don't remember if I told y'all that I was listening to something. There have been tons of messages on marriage stuff lately. But this man was saying how, when your wedding song, was, oh, I'll swim the deepest ocean, I'll climb the highest mountain for you. But then when your wife calls and says, stop and pick up milk, rah, I'm tired, I've worked all day, you go, you know. What happened to, I'll swim the deepest ocean, I'll climb the highest mountain, but I won't stop and get milk, I won't stop and get the bread. And isn't that true? How we can get the words that we're speaking. Our body language also says a lot. Right? Rolling our eyes. You know, ignoring, silent treatment. We got to be careful with all that. It's just really the communication altogether, right? I don't know why, but there's an anger inside of me that shouldn't be there if someone rolls their eyes at me. I just can't help it. It just gets to me. It's very disrespectful to me. And you could almost spit in my face and it might not bother me as much as rolling your eyes at me. I don't like it. Why do we do that to each other? You know? Why do we hurt each other with our words, with our actions? we want a successful marriage, we want a successful walk with God, we need to be looking at what's here in this heart and how the overflow of the heart, the words that are coming out, are they good? Are they life-giving? Are they building up? But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is the words coming out of your mouth benefiting those who listen? I'm going to stop tonight with a challenge. And I want you to make it a point this week to speak words of affirmation to the people that you love. Speak words of encouragement, of gratitude to the people that you love. To your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your mom, to your dad. You know, moms and dads still like to hear it, kids. That you appreciate them, that you love them, that you're thankful for them. That you're proud of them, that they've done a good job. You know, sometimes I find myself, and I don't like always telling these stories on myself, but y'all's going to be quiet. But sometimes I find myself after dinner, and I'll think, man, that was a good dinner, but I forget to tell her. I forget to tell Crystal, thank you, that was delicious. And then I might go to bed and I just hadn't thought about it. Y'all, time and things just slip and run and run and run and run by us. We need that affirmation. We need to encourage one another. We need to tell each other how much they mean to us. Mitzi did it right out at the beginning. Now, I'm so thankful for Kyle and Peter and Keaton up there playing, and she's thankful for them. That's just words of affirmation. That's letting people know how much you care, how much they mean to you. When Jesus, y'all, the verses when the woman anointed Jesus with the oil, and the people were so upset and said, we could have sold that and taken care of the poor. And what did he say? The poor will always be with you, but I won't always be with you. And that verse, I'm telling you, ever since I became a pastor, that verse has spoken so much to me about the church. And that we need to be taking care of each other because we don't know how long we have. You think about our church and all the people that have passed on. We can't call up anymore. We can't say thank you anymore. We can't tell them how much they meant to us. So I encourage you this week to try. It's a piece of paper stuck in the air vent. To try to make it a point. And even if it's awkward, you know, some of you might be going, well, if I say it now, it's because you told me to, right? You go home and tell your wife you love her and you're thankful for this. You go home and tell your husband you love him and you're thankful for this. Or you go call up your parents. Well, none of y'all's, well, some of y'all's parents are here, but, well, it don't mean nothing because Pete told us to, but just do it anyway. Even if it's awkward, you do it. And get in the habit of doing it. And encouraging. And building each other up. And those nasty, mean words have no business. Let's control these tongues. Let's not say them. Anybody got anything before we quit? Maybe somebody that's been married longer than me that like to share something or say something? Confess something. You do. You have to be so careful with the words that we speak, how we're speaking them. Because they can be so hurtful. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I pray for encouragement for each and every one of us here, Lord, that in all of our relationships that we would guard our tongues. And Lord, if if any of us are really struggling with the words that's been coming out of our mouth, may we stop right now and examine our hearts. Examine, is there something wrong? Is that I'm having all this overflow come out that's so unkind? This shouldn't be there. May we repent of it. Ask for forgiveness, Lord, and begin to seek You. Lord, that we might be filled with Your Holy Spirit, with Your anointing, that we would truly speak words of encouragement, ready to build one another up. Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our children, our spouses, that we would be there to affirm, to let them know how much they mean to us, and let them know that they can have victory in every area of their life. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.